Hello, everybody. I'm your host, Lauren Lapid, a 22-year-old from the suburbs of Southern California, a recent college graduate, and now a fresh New Yorker trying to do it all in this crazy post-college life. You're listening to Rookies in the Real World. And in today's episode, we are joined by Carolyn Zamora, serial entrepreneur, CEO of Aesthetic Marketing, co-founder of Recoup, and director of digital marketing and growth at Gravity Blanket, as she gives us insight into her career journey, finding success without a college degree, and growing her own personal brand.
It's Rookies in the Real World. It's time for real talk on becoming an adult.
All right, Rookie Gang. Welcome back to another episode of Rookies in the Real World. To any new listeners, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so excited you're here. So to quickly recap the Rookies process, our podcast operates in four-week cycles. The first week focuses on something New York specific. The second week focuses on career growth and development. And the third week focuses on adulting. And then, of course, for the fourth week, it's everyone's favorite, Wine Wednesdays. Today is episode 14, and we are discussing career growth and development today. And, you know, as a creative, I have always had this dilemma of whether or not I needed to go to college to be successful. Rookie Gang veterans, you know that I have been so honest about the massive student debt that I have and how it seriously stresses me out. And I drive myself crazy sometimes thinking about what my life today would be like if I didn't do the traditional four-year college route like my parents wanted. And this is definitely going to be an episode for another day, but I grew up a really serious athlete. And I mean, there was a point in time that I considered putting college on hold or not even attending college at all to go pursue that Olympic dream. And I mean, I always knew I wanted to be a designer like afterwards, but I mean, we know the path that I decided to go on. I went to college and I don't regret it, but I definitely do wonder what my life would be like right now navigating a career in design without a college degree. I know that there are many people in the Rookie Gang that also, you know, like might not have had the opportunity to go to college or just decided that college wasn't their thing and didn't go altogether. And I want you to know that I'm listening, that I want your voices to be heard, and that your success is not defined by whether or not you have a college degree or, as a matter of fact, what school you receive that degree from if you do. And so today's guest is literally so inspiring, so phenomenal, and she is so beyond perfect for this topic, and I'm so excited to get into it. Today we are hearing from one of the most successful people I have the privilege of knowing. She also happens to be my aunt. Everyone meet Carolyn Zamora, and spoiler alert, she did everything without a college degree. Hi, Cara. By the way, I call her Cara, guys, so you're going to have to deal with that. But
hi.
Thanks again for joining me. Of course. Before we dive in, I'll give everybody a little like bio about you so they know who you are and what you're about. Carolyn is a digital marketing maven and social media influencer who reaches audience at scale, both on her own channels and through her marketing company, Aesthetic, which has helped Gravity Blankets, Higher Dose, and other brands tell their story with impact. She's an LA native who started her career at American Apparel. Carolyn also ran marketing and analytics in Vegas for Tao Group before heading to New York City. She's recognized as a trailblazing leader, having spoken at conferences like the Digital Marketing World Forum and the Social Media Strategies Summit. And yeah, she's my aunt that I look up to as a big sister. And I think something that is so impressive to me is that she isn't even 30 yet. So like, wow, your resume is crazy. Let's start with a little bit of an icebreaker. Who has had the greatest impact on your life and what was it?
I mean, this question's always kind of loaded, right? Like there's a lot of people who have like completely different impacts in my life. I think like for the purpose of this episode, I'd stick more into like the career impact. I think I would say that it would be my old boss at American Apparel because he was that essentially convinced me to stay in marketing. And like, I was about to go into nursing school and do the whole college thing. But after like talking to him and him being like you should stay in this. Like, I completely changed my trajectory and like my whole career path.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I remember growing up like thinking that you would go into nursing, and so it's been really cool seeing how different your life has gone, like for the better.
I mean, can you imagine me as a nurse?
No, not at all. In like the nicest way possible.
I just but, can't even.
Yeah, no, not in our family, our crazy family. But before we fully dive into the interview, I wanted to give a rundown of it so that everybody listening knows what to expect. And trust me, there is content relatable to everyone in this episode. So we'll start with a rundown of Kara's career journey so far, get deep into her decision not to get a degree, and then all things social media. So let's start career journey. Run us through the crazy, cool adventure that is your career journey. How did you get to where you are today? Which I know is loaded.
Very loaded. I mean, it's definitely been a crazy adventure for sure. You know, I feel like a lot of people see success as like a linear trajectory, like a ladder of some sorts. You're like, you know, you're just always climbing to the top, but like it really isn't. You know, part of being able to get here meant like failing and failing and failing, but it's just like, I think the most important part was just being able to realize that like failure is inevitable in order for me to succeed, mm-hmm. and then just getting back up and trying again.
Totally.
So yeah, I mean, not to be cliche, but like dust yourself off and try again.
Oh, that's not cliche at all. That's good advice. And I know you mentioned American Apparel already, but what do you think has been your most influential role or pivotal moment in your career so far, and why?
So I think the most like influential and pivotal roles are really separated into like two moments. Influential would definitely be when I got accepted into nursing school and then, you know, had that whole conversation. So I was like their youngest digital marketing manager that they ever had, and you know, especially 21, running a marketing team,
yeah.
at like a multi-million dollar company, which like that does not happen like ever. But you know, with the CDO being like, you know, you are in a very, really unique opportunity where you have the experience that people pay hundreds and thousands of dollars to be able to like hopefully get.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, you just are not a nurse. Like, that is just not who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And said that I, like, belonged in marketing.
Yeah.
So that was one. And then I would say that, like, the most pivotal moment for my career was, like, when I was living in Vegas and realized that, like, I really just needed to work for myself and, like, take what I knew and what I've learned and my experience and expertise, mm-hmm. like, bring that out to, like, other companies. And so starting my, like, marketing company, I think was like the most pivotal part of like my career.
Yeah. And we love aesthetic marketing. Shout out to aesthetic. Thanks for employing me. But what are you most proud of regarding your career?
I get asked this a lot. What I gravitate to most when I get asked this question is just really about being able to launch like multiple 7 to 8 figure businesses.
Yeah.
And like, that's a mixture of like ones that I've like personally created and ones that I'm like a founding team member of, and like others that, you know, were smaller businesses that I helped turn into multi-million dollar companies. And I think like the experience that I've had like launching Gravity from it being just a concept and then like being here 3 years later and Gravity being like this like hot item,
mm-hmm.
was like, it's such a rare like opportunity. And then being able to take that and like kind of do something similar with Recoup, the supplement business, mm-hmm. and like turn that into a 7-figure business within the first year of running it.
Yeah.
It's like a dream, honestly.
I know, it's like crazy how many different things you manage. I don't know how you have time to like have a dog and like be healthy and manage all these companies. It's like crazy, your time management skills.
I don't really, but it's like a struggle. And I mean, part of that is like, I feel like at college, you've kind of figured out how to like organize yourself and like mm-hmm. manage your time being like, I have to like study for this paper. So you have like a bit more of like a structure
mm-hmm.
that like I didn't necessarily have. Like I had that like in high school and like whatever, but like I didn't have the actual like streamlined, like this is how I'm going to tackle all of my classes and like
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, you learned how to manage everything like in a completely different environment. So kudos to you. And I mean, we've talked about failure already, kind of. So what would you say has been your biggest obstacle or your own perceived failure, and how did you overcome it?
I think I'm my biggest obstacle. Like, for sure. I'm very hard on myself, and like for a while I was like the biggest perfectionist and like was such a workaholic and I was like, I need to do more, I need to be better. And then even now I'm like, I know that they have a lot of like random things going on, but I'm still like, I should be doing more. I need to be like on top of this. And like, so I definitely am. And I do struggle with like imposter syndrome where I'm like, do I even know what I'm doing? But like in the moments that I'm like, everything is kind of crashing, like Instagram changes their algorithm, or then I'm like, do I even know what's happening? And then I kind of get out of it, because you kind of have to acknowledge yourself. I would say though, like perceived failure is not going to college, in a way for me, because like it's a big insecurity of mine. Even though like I've gotten this far in my career, it's still like something that I don't immediately like divulge right away. And like I think I'm in a really interesting scenario where like I do get to be around like people who went to like Ivy League colleges and like are like in these like big positions and and then there's me who's like fish out of water randomly that's like kind of disrupting an industry in a way without a college degree.
But I feel like if anything, that is also one of your strengths almost. I feel like I have encountered so many people from the Ivies that think they know what they're doing and clearly don't, and it is a little bit of a struggle, like not coming from that background and having to prove yourself. But I feel like you bring something different to the table, and that's what's important. And that is also a wonderful segue into the next part of our interview, which actually goes into talking about how you decided not to go to college. And I also just want to take a moment to like thank you for doing this episode, because I know it is a little bit of a touchy subject. And so thank you, Kara. I really do
Of
appreciate it. I
course.
think this is something people in that position definitely need to hear more. So thank
Yeah.
you.
Like I wish I had somebody to like tell me these things when I was in that position. Everyone's just like, you always need to like have a college degree. Or like my parents are just being like, you're not gonna do anything without a college degree. Like, you're not gonna get a good job and you're gonna be dependent on me, like situation. And I'm just like, no, it's not
Oh,
gonna
how the
happen.
tables have turned because you're
I know.
killing it. But growing up, and I mentioned this, I remember you maybe not wanting to be a nurse. So I remember that's like all our family talked about at one point was like how you were going to become a nurse. So I know you kind of talked about American Apparel, but how did that happen? Like, what exactly changed?
So my first plan, like probably from like elementary school until like middle school, I wanted to be a lawyer.
I could see
And then I
that. That
realized
feels more up your alley than a doctor.
but then I realized like I don't want to end up having to like be like defend someone that I knew was like guilty. I just like I'm not good at that. Like I can't. So I decided I liked the concept of like being able to solve puzzles. And so I was like, I don't necessarily want to be a nurse. I want to be a nurse practitioner and open up a like free but private clinic to like help people, because healthcare is like pretty fucked up in this country. And so I was like, I want to like try to do something, but I don't like blood. I don't like surgery. I don't like the things that you have to deal with as a nurse. But I like the challenge. Like I would read my friends' medical books, like who were in nursing school while I was in high school. And I would like try to like pre-diagnose people when they were sick and be like, what's gonna happen? Like I wanna see if I'm right. And I found it fascinating, but not fascinating enough. Like I liked the challenge. And so when I started working at American Apparel and it was like, here, like figure out how to do all these things, it was really fun for me. And it turned out that I was like really good at it. And so like my old boss being correct, he was just like, like you belong here. And what did he actually say? I don't know. He said something like, you belong in this like in marketing and like don't ever leave it. It's true because like I wasn't really passionate about it, and I don't get that same feeling when I think about nursing as I do when I like think about like what I do. So I'm like really blessed to have been able to find it.
Yeah,
my life would have been not
so
great
different.
If
oh my gosh,
I didn't continue doing this.
But, yeah. That's awesome that you had a mentor figure that saw that in you and was able to kind of like shepherd you in the right direction, which is awesome. And I mean, I know the answer to this, but was going to college and getting a degree expected of you? And was there any family fallout when you decided not to go through with it?
100%. Like, you know, Asian families and not going to college. It's a very big thing. It's like, we came to America to give you a better life. And I'm like, okay, but joke's on them. My parents were like really protective and controlling growing up. And, you know, they would say things like, you could only go to CSUN because I was
like right down the street.
Yeah. And I'm like, what if I got like a full ride to like Harvard, which was like the school that I really wanted to go to. And they're like, if you got accepted to Harvard, you would get accepted to CSUN.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, so it kind of just like was very discouraging to be like, okay, well, I can't even go to the college that I want to go to. But yeah, like they also realized like pretty early on, like probably like my freshman year, that I was a rebel. and like I couldn't really be controlled. And so like, you know, when I turned like 15 and a half, like right when I was like legal, I started applying for jobs. And like my work, like my school signed off on it as long as it was like you're up 15 and a half. And so like, you know, applied for jobs. Within a month, I like got like a job scooping up gelato, like just whatever. And I remember like I was like waiting for that day so like preciously, and was just like, that Kanye song came out. What is it, like the Can't Tell Me Nothing song?
Oh yes.
I would just be like, wait till I get my money right. Can't tell me nothing, right? And I would just like walk around the house just like that was like my mantra. And so like they knew they're just like, we're not gonna be able to control her, she didn't do what she wants, like bahala ka sa buhay mo.
I know. We've all heard that so much. So from like your siblings, from our parents.
Yeah. So, and I did. So that's what happened.
And obviously, no regrets now. You are absolutely killing it. But I mean, once you decided that, you know, nursing school wasn't going to be it, what made you decide to just like not go to school altogether? Because you very well could have gone and like, you know, gotten a marketing degree. So like, what kind of made you just decide to move forward working?
I mean, sometimes like you just know when you're meant to be somewhere.
Yeah.
And I thought like, if I'm going to go to school, like what Thorin, my boss, like told me, it was really stuck. It was like, why would I go to school and pay like thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to go get a degree to try to get a job that I already have?
That's
and then
so
like,
true.
If I'm going to do that, like, wouldn't I just be putting myself in the back burner and like not being like getting the experience? It just like didn't really make sense. And like, it truly is like a puzzle or a glove, right? Like, if it's meant to be, it'll just fit.
Yeah.
And for me, it was just like, this just fits.
Everything kind of aligned. And I think that's so important because, like, I'm sure there was pressure to go back to school, but like, school costs so much money. Like, I just refinanced my student loans and I like signed my soul to the devil. I'm going to be paying those back for the rest of my life. And I mean, I know that many people my age and even younger are told, you know, like you can't get a job without a degree on your resume. And so when you were in the earlier stages of your career, what language did you use regarding your decision not to go back to school? Because I think a lot of people like don't quite know what to say when people ask, like regardless of their job experience, you know?
Yeah. So the funny thing about this is I should have known I was a lot more strategic than I thought I was when I was younger. Because I would just remove the education portion of a resume altogether.
Oh. Well, there you go. Like, that solves that.
But here's the reason why, right? Like, if they want to be enough and they found me interesting enough, and they like the education piece is important, they would call, they would email, they would either set up like a face-to-face, like they call me in for the interview and ask me then, or ask me on the phone. And at that point I already had them.
Yeah,
right?
That's
so
true.
Like I could like essentially change the narrative, and there wasn't this bias in front of them that was like, oh, it doesn't matter, they don't have school, like they don't have a college degree, so I'm not going to talk to them. And like approaching it that way, like gave me the opportunity to like prove it, you know. And they would ask like, so how come you don't have like a college degree? And I would just say like, you know, what I lack in college education, I make up in my experience and my work ethic. And like a lot of people have like answers like that, but I think like being able to actually talk to them on the phone and like them hear like how I speak and how I just like in general, they're like, okay, so like you're actually mean that. And so I mean, like even at American Apparel, right, like I took a huge pay cut to work there because I wanted to work in fashion. And like that's the thing that a lot of people have to do, you know. I started from the bottom. I was like, I'm gonna go in as like a sales coordinator making like minimum wage, and you know, like I was like, I'm gonna sacrifice like pay, like so that they can see who they're dealing with. And then like within 6 months I was like moved into another, like I was moved into a different department, and then a year in I was running my own team. So it's like, as long as you can like walk the walk, then you're good.
Have you experienced any sort of difficulties and discrimination though, because you didn't like go do the thing that everybody expects, like by getting a degree?
I mean, definitely, but not in the ways that you would expect. Like I was thankfully like didn't really have to deal with that from companies, because like I had like a job offer from Mophie to do like some crazy job without a college degree, and that was like a big thing that they wanted. I interviewed with Nike, with Adidas, and like part of the first thing, and earned Urban, and they're all like, college degree is really important. And I did the same thing, I just like left it out of my resume. So I went through like the first round and I explained it, and they're like, despite your degree, like we still want to like continue talking to you. So I made it through like multiple rounds. So it didn't really stop me. I think it was more of like being in New York and being in like the blockchain scene or tech growth scene, and like, you know, I'd be out with these people like that are like friends of friends, and they'd be like, did you know that they went to a state school?
Oh,
can you
my
believe
God.
That? You know, and then there's like all this shade that's being thrown around, and I'm just like,
meanwhile, you're people, in the back, like,
and these are people that are like, can you please like come work with us? Like, please come work with us. Like, we really need, like, we would love to like have you like help us with marketing, or like, can we hire you as a consultant? You know, and then I'm like, you guys do know that I didn't go to college, right? And they're like, what? And so it's like kind of fun to like mind fuck them a little bit.
Oh, I love that.
That's more of like the discrimination that I see, not necessarily employment. I think you could always like maneuver your way out of that, but there's just like people who are pretentious about like college and like definitely take it a lot more seriously than I do. But
no, I feel that. But I mean, for anybody who is starting their career without a degree, what do you think that they like, what do you think that they can do to make themselves stand out? And what strengths do you think they need to hone in on to be successful?
I feel like not having a degree really just made me go above and beyond in everything that I do. Like the hours that I would have spent in a classroom learning, I like put into side projects in order to help me like make a name for myself in this industry. So whether it was like, yes, I'm a sales coordinator, but now I'm gonna like, I see all these inefficiencies in your processes, so I'm gonna go and spend my time outside of work compiling all my notes and like seeing this efficiency and solving for it. I think it's like one thing that like people are like, hey, I found this problem. It's another thing that like, hey, I found this problem, but don't worry, I also like came up with a solution. And like being able to do that and like just having like forward thinking. So important.
Oh, that's such good advice. Wow, I'm gonna start thinking about that more, even though I have a degree, even though it's useless because I'm a creative. Why did I go to art school? Who fucking
no,
knows?
Dude. let me tell you. Let me tell you real quick. In my entire career, right, I started working corporate at 18. I was working corporate Verizon at 18, and then I moved over to like American Apparel and have been running a lot more like in the creative aspects of it. I have met so many creatives that have gone to college, right? And I've met a lot of creatives that haven't. The thing is with, and I work with you, and I tell you this all the time, you are very good at what you do in comparison to, like, I know people that went to, like, art institute too, like, literally all they did is just, like, focused on art, and you are just, like, so good in comparison. Like, everything that they taught you, I think, definitely has made a difference in, like, who you are. It's just, I don't know, I can't even explain it, and I'm gonna have to stop myself from tooting your horn, because I toot your horn like 50 times a day.
I appreciate you. I love it. I'm like, thanks, because nobody toots my horn at work, so I'm like, oh, I actually am good.
No, you are really good. Like, and I struggle with a lot of design, and like, people, you can ask people that I work with, like, I'm kind of a little bit crazy when it comes to design stuff, and with you it's like, first pass, I'm good with it.
I literally would never get the vibe that you'd be one of those crazy creative directors, because when we work together, it's so smooth.
It's easy. It's just like, design something good.
There's my direction. No. Just make it good.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It's like, you get it and you understand and you have an eye, right? Like, you've always had an eye. Your mom too. You know, your mom like would do with party planning, or she would do something creative. I forget. And she like also has like a pretty nice design eye, so you guys just all also have it. That paired with your technical skill is like usually I find one or the other.
Thanks, Cara. Wow. Last question on this section: degree or no degree, what traits do you think are most prevalent in successful people? I'm always curious about this because I know that, you know, like, you're surrounded by some really intelligent people, and so I just love to pick your brain a bit on what traits you see similarly.
I would say like drive, self-awareness, and problem-solving skills. I mean, on top of like just being a decent human and like like getting along with people and like I think that also falls into self-awareness though. I think how you communicate to people is really important, but like drive and problem solving skills, right? Like, there's that saying, it could also be like the name of a book or something, but it's like, the dream is free, but the hustle is sold separately. And like, that's super cheesy in a way, but like, it's so fucking true.
Yeah,
everybody can dream, but in order to make it into reality, you need to just like go for it.
Totally. Okay, for the final part of our interview before we move on to takeaways is all about social media, which I know that you hate. To anybody listening, this is going to actually be our first IGTV, and you need to watch it because Cara's face just killed me. But our family teases you like incessantly about being an influencer, and I know you hate it, so I'm so sorry. But,
okay.
I mean,
it's part of the job.
you do have an incredible following on Instagram. And I mean, did you always want to be, and mind the word here, but did you always want to be like some sort of an influencer?
Yeah, you already know I cringe at that word. When I cringe at that word for myself. Right, like, I don't think, like, I think I'm kind of like a loser sometimes, like, I think I'm like awkward, and so I'm like, I don't really know why all of these people follow me, but like, whatever. I also don't feel like I really influence a lot, like, I don't always post because I'm so busy, like, it just kind of happens.
No, but I appreciate that about you. You're not one of those influencers that's like, everybody go buy these, like, I love it, sponsored. Like, you're very authentic with your Instagram, which I appreciate.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of sponsored posts. A lot of the things that I like have done is like more like recently, like the things that I have coming up actually are local based to help support small businesses in New York. Never really wanted to be an influencer. I like appreciate being the person who's like behind the scenes and like, you know, like I, the person that like the people know within that industry. So it's not like I'm sitting at a bar and it's like, oh my God, it's so-and-so. It's more of like, that's, I don't know, the person who makes it happen. Never really wanted to do this, but thankfully I'm not like that big or anything. Like, I have like almost 60,000, which I actually delete followers pretty often because I don't want to have that happen, so I like purge my account.
A purge is good sometimes.
Yeah,
but why, can you elaborate on why you don't love the term influencer?
Also part of like me as like a professional in this space in the way that I deem influencers, I think that like there's several categories that come to like popularity within social media, and they get grouped in this blanket term called influencer. But in reality, there's like creators, there's models, there's influencers who like really are just like socialites essentially, mm-hmm. and like so on. And so like for me, I'm like not really, I just like happen to grow following because I, as I typically do, get obsessive about learning something. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I'm going to learn how to hack Instagram. Like I'm essentially a growth hacker by trade. And so I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm going to figure out how to do this. And so like, I was trying to crack the algorithm, and like in doing so, it was like, I got additional viewability in my, viewability on my Instagram. And so it was causing more people to follow me. That's essentially what happens though with Instagram, is like the reason why there's like some good accounts, like really great accounts that have like amazing photography, and you realize that they don't have a following because like they're not being seen. Mm. And so like when you're optimizing your posts because you're like trying to learn it, as I am, you're being seen a lot more. So it's getting people to actually follow you.
Yeah, that kind of leads into the next question, which is what, like, how do you grow your Instagram following so successfully?
Well, if people are listening to this like this week, it's next week, I'm sure it's gonna be outdated because like Instagram's always changing everything that they're doing. When I first started, location tags were a big thing, right? So like now you can't really get anybody to see your stuff through a location tag. And so it's like keeping up with that, like always tagging myself at like hotspots. So it was like, oh yeah, like I'm like at this place, even though I wasn't actually at that place, but like just that location, I'll be at home with a selfie and I'll post something that's like, I'm on the Hollywood Boulevard because whatever, and get a bunch of following there. And then hashtagging and like, just, I try to like respond to everybody that like, you know, puts the time and effort into like liking my post or like DMing me or like, or commenting on my post. So like I try to build relationships with like anybody who stops by my page. That's another way that your stuff gets seen, is like as you're like talking to people and you're building relationships and like friendships with these people over the internet, you know, like you end up like being able to be expanded into like their own audience.
Yeah, but totally.
I haven't been doing it as much lately, so I feel really bad, but
you're busy with a million and one other things, which we all know. But if you could sum up the top three tips you have to anybody who's trying to grow their own Instagram following, what would they be?
Top three tips for anybody trying to grow their Instagram. Hashtag optimizations. Okay. That's like what I'm really big on right now, is like testing out different hashtags and seeing what works and what doesn't. And time of post. Right?
That like, makes sense.
Do like a couple of weeks that are all at like 5 p.m. or whatever, and see how that does. And then do like the following week at like 8 in the morning or whatever it is, and see how that works. And then looking at your like Instagram analytics and seeing like, this is what they're kind of saying is your like time to post, but like check it out yourself. Like you always want to grade your own homework, or you don't
totally
want to grade your own homework. You want to be able to like, you know, check everything and
Thank you for that. And then how would you describe your personal brand?
Weird. Weird, awkward, and like random. Like I just, it's hard. Everybody has like a niche and I just don't, right? Like I could be like a plant person. I have so many plants, but I never really post about my plants. I like really like fashion, but like I don't really post a lot about fashion either. I just like post whatever I want. So yeah. Maybe it's just like, I don't know, you said the word authentic, but I think it's just like, I don't know, just like a random account.
No, but I like that. You just, you post for you, which I really appreciate.
For sure.
But I mean, social media right now, I feel like more than ever, is just so, so saturated. So, I mean, what do you think makes someone stand out to be successful amongst all the noise? Because I know, I'm sure, like, you've worked with influencers in the past for marketing campaigns. Like, what do you think makes somebody stand out?
On the, like, brand side, it's just how nice people are. I've worked with like people that were really not nice and like very hot, like demanding, and like it's just at the end of the day, we're all humans, and Instagram's gonna crash one day. You know, what are you gonna be left with? So that's a big thing on like a like user side, right? I think it's just about authenticity. Like those are the posts that I like gravitate to the most and that I see perform really well is when people are like just raw.
Yeah.
And like I'm not gonna, if a skincare company sends me like something for skin and I post about it, like it's not really gonna move the needle because everyone's like, I'm really lucky that I don't typically have like skin issues. Like I don't have anything.
Oh my gosh,
on my
I know.
Face
I
right
texted
now.
You like a few weeks ago being like, what are you doing to your face? And you were like, nothing.
I was like, oh, I have like a really, that's a really
I was so ready for you to send like a huge list. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited. And you literally were like, all right, Pond's cold cream. And that's about it.
I was like, I sleep with my makeup on and I use a wipe. And I
was like,
the best. Yeah,
your you got the good side of our family genetics.
So weird, man. But like, it doesn't come off as authentic because everyone's like, you normally have good skin. And so I feel like the people who actually like show their true like issues that they have, like I think about my mental health issues often because that is like what I think I like, that's like what I can share is like the true form of myself. And so I always see like people who show like their vulnerability.
Totally.
It's like, it's new.
So you have spoken a lot about self-learning and kind of taking challenges as your own. So what were some of your favorite resources that you turned to when you kind of began like growing your social presence and growing your personal brand?
Just really testing it out myself and like talking with friends. Being in LA definitely helped because like you end up like knowing so many other people that have like having like a following is like not like a huge deal or anything, I feel like. And so like having friends that are like, oh, this isn't working for me, or like, hey, anybody else like have Instagram, like that's like having experiencing issues on Instagram. And there's like other Facebook groups of just like people who are trying to learn about it that are helpful, but like right now there's a lot more like information at your disposal. There's all these social media management platforms that like send out so many tips from like their own learnings, but yeah, I mean, just so much more information out there now.
Yeah.
And seeing what everyone else is doing. For hashtag research, this is, okay. Hashtag research, I think, is very difficult. And there's a lot of companies out there that are like, oh, we're going to, like, help, like, generate your hashtags for you, and then they get shut down. So, like, if I have free time and I'm bored or, like, need a break, I, like, will go through my Explore page, and I'll try to find patterns and, like, what is actually being...
Oh, that's so smart.
Or like if I'm seeing influencers on my feed and I'm like, wow, they're posted really well, because like I see that it's more than they do averagely, I'll like look through and see what hashtags like they've used and
that's
kind of pair
so
that into
smart.
Like, okay, that might be like hashtags that I can use. So
guys, these are pro tips. Thank you, Cara. We're going to move on to the takeaways portion, which I like to describe as kind of like lightning round. I don't want you to overthink it. Just first thing that comes to mind kind of situation. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
You ready?
Okay.
Okay. Sum up the one piece of advice you have for the person you were when you like first started your career in marketing.
Stop overthinking yourself.
That's a good one.
Or second guessing yourself. I said overthinking yourself because I was overthinking. Stop second guessing yourself.
Sum up the one piece of advice you have for anyone going through the dilemma of deciding whether or not to go through with college.
One piece of advice would be to like know that this is something that you would actually want to do for the rest of your life. Like, I think that if you're confused and you're not sure, just go so you can get the basic life skills. But if you can like feel it in your heart that you're passionate about a certain like field and that like you have the opportunity, then like do it, because if you do something that you love, it doesn't really feel like working. And that's so true. Like cliche, another cliche, but true.
No, that That totally makes sense. I mean, when I was an ice skater, somebody, when I was deciding whether or not to like quit and like fully pursue ice skating or go to college, somebody was like, one of the ice skaters was like, college will always be there. You can always apply to go to college, but like your age, like your age gap of like your prime physical health, that's not there forever. So like, what are you gonna do? I chose college, but I mean, I still think about that to this day. It was like, yeah, like colleges aren't gonna disappear while I go and train for a few months. So that
So
is such good advice.
you're still active, so you can totally go back and do it. I started playing volleyball again. I'm 28 years old. Like
You
I
play
joined a
volleyball
vol
again?
I yeah, I've like oh well, I'm
Oh
27 when I started, but I like joined a league.
I didn't know they had this.
And on top, yeah, they do actually. There's like one nearby, but and on top of that, it's like I thought about going back to like online school and applying for online school at Harvard just so I can be like, I like
I
did the
did go to
thing.
Harvard.
Yeah, I was like, I mean, it's kind of a cheat, but at this point, like coronavirus, like everyone's graduating online. Let's like be real. And so I know college will also always be there. So it's like if you feel passionate enough to do that and it fails, which failure is part of success, at least you'll learn something, right? With every failure, there's a lesson to be learned. So at least you'll be able to like, well, I tried it and live with like no regret and then go back to college.
That's true. Okay. Sum up the one piece of advice you give to anybody who is like fresh to social media, like doesn't know where to begin.
God, that's so hard. Don't worry about perfecting your image first. Worry about testing and learning the platform.
Spitting some wise facts as we wrap up the episode. Thank you so much for joining us, Kara. I really
Same.
appreciate it. And it's so good to see your face because we text all the
Same,
time, but I never see
same.
your face. So I'm gonna link everything in the show notes, but where can our listeners find you? Instagram, LinkedIn.
Ooh, well, my name is kind of like hard to spell, but if you can figure it out, it's Carolyn Zamora with a K, which is Instagram. Website, I'm still redoing mine, so I would say Riku, my supplement business that reduces the side effects of stimulants. And we also launched a new immunity product, so that's at www.getriku.com.
Yay! Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much again. This has been such a pleasure. You are literally so impressive, Kara. Like, seriously.
And awkward at the same
No,
time.
that's what I love. That's what I love about it.
No,
Guys, I need everybody to just go to Kara's Instagram and give her some love. Hit her up, DM her if anything she said resonated with you or if you appreciated her advice. I know she would really, really love that. She's seriously one of the most influential people in my life. It's been such a blessing getting to have her kind of shepherd me through the process of moving to New York City. You know, like growing up, she was always this like big sister figure, and I feel like there was always this like kind of like divide because you know when you're younger and like you're just like the annoying little sister and your older sister is too cool kind of thing. So it's been like really awesome getting to reconnect with her on a way more personal, equal level. I love her so much and I am so glad that she took the time out of her day because I mean, as you heard, she's super busy. So I'm really, really blessed that she took the time out of the day to come and talk to the Rookie Gang. So definitely check out all of her brands. Look at her website, look at her Instagram, and don't be afraid to DM her if you have any questions. Like, she's seriously so fucking cool. But thank you so much again for listening. And if you liked this episode, please consider giving us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Give us a review. Or if you're really feeling up to it, you're really feeling enthusiastic about the Rookie Gang, share us on your Instagram story. That's the best way to spread podcasts is through word of mouth. And I would absolutely love it if you told a friend about rookies in the real world. But okay, I'm done talking your ear off for the week. I will see you guys next week. Bye. Thanks again.